Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Our Lord tells us in the Gospel today, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Our Lord flips the logic of this world upside down. Whoever loves his life will lose it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. How are we to interpret these words? One of the greatest scriptural commentators of all time, Cornelius Lapide, who formed saints, who formed scholars, who formed Catholic theology, comments these words, and we'll see Cornelius Lapide pop up again during this homily later on. He says, "He that prefers his life to my faith," he explains the words of the Lord, he says, "He that prefers his life to my faith as rather to deny the faith than lose his life shall incur eternal death. But he who hates his life so as to prefer losing it to losing the faith will live in eternal happiness in heaven." Such was the life of the martyrs, the anchorites, religious, and all other holy people. He that prefers his life to my faith, to faith in Christ, so as to rather deny the faith than lose his life, shall incur eternal death. But he who hates his life so as to prefer losing it, giving his life rather than denying the faith, he will live in eternal happiness in heaven. So today, on the patronal feast of St. Lawrence, martyr of the Catholic Church, martyr for the faith, we'll look at two fundamental dogmas of the Catholic faith, which we have to have deeply engraved in our Catholic consciences, which are the basis and the foundations of our faith. First, the necessity of faith in Christ for salvation, and inseparable from that, the necessity of the Church to truly belong to Christ and therefore for salvation. To begin, we know that we live today in a world that's multicultural, multi-religious. There's a pluralism of cultures and religions. So when we say this today, of course, we have to say it charitably, we have to say it respectfully, but we have to say it, and all the more so today when we have the opportunity, when we're surrounded by people that perhaps do not know Christ, do not know his Church. They need to hear this. Outside of Christ, there is no salvation. Without the Church, there is no salvation. And this is the same. This is true yesterday, today, and forever. Circumstances change. The world in which we live in changes, but the truth and the gospel do not change. This is constant teaching of the Church. From the gospel, beginning with the gospel, with the fathers of the Church, with all the popes, with all the councils, up until and including Vatican II, and let no one fool you on this point, up until and including the Second Vatican Council and all the subsequent magisterium until this present day. And if this weren't true, we should ask ourselves a fundamental question right at the beginning. If we're not convinced of this, and if we're not convinced to the point of speaking out about this, we should ask ourselves, well, what are we doing this morning in this chapel? What am I doing dressed up like this talking to you if I'm not convinced of this, that outside of Christ and outside of the Church to which I belong, there is no salvation? This is a fundamental principle of apologetics. You know, it's not, well, I'm a Catholic, therefore outside of the Church, there's no salvation because I'm a Catholic, I have to be right. No, there's motives of credibility. We are in the Church, we're Catholics in the Church, we persevere in the Church despite all the pressure, despite all the ease with which we could leave, persevere in the Church because we know it was founded by Christ, because we know we have to stay here if we hope for eternal life and if we don't want to lose God for all eternity. If without Christ salvation were possible, then I'd be the first to recommend to you to become a Muslim, a Protestant. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. If Christ weren't the only Savior, we should all change religion. It's a lot easier without, it's a lot easier not to have, humanly speaking, it's a lot easier to be some, to profess some other religion rather than to be a Christian, have to suffer and lay down our lives for Christ. But Christ is the only source of salvation, and the Church is the only boat that will survive the storms and the tempests of sin and of the world. So we need Christ to be saved and to belong to Christ. St. Paul teaches us we have to be baptized into him. And by being baptized into him, we form part of the mystical body, the Church. As Christians, we're not monads. We're not just individuals, completely independent of one another. We're sons of God, and as sons of God, we're brothers and sisters of each other. We form one body, the Church. For in one spirit, St. Paul says, we were all baptized into one body. Now you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. And that's why Pope Francis, just to show you how up to date, how present day this theology is, Pope Francis, you know, states the same thing. Often the mass media would like us to believe that, you know, the Pope Francis, perhaps the least Catholic of Catholics, you know, that he's a Catholic despite the Church, but he's just willing to change, waiting to change all doctrine to flip things upside down. No, the first to remind us of this truth is Pope Francis himself. The mass media don't want us to know that, but we have to know it. He said in two distinct homilies, a Christian without the Church is incomprehensible. It is a thing of the laboratory, an artificial thing, a thing that cannot give life. Our Christian identity, the Pope says, is belonging to a people. This people is the Church. Without this, we are not Christians. Perhaps we're laboratory Christians, artificial Christians, but Christians without life in us and incapable of giving life. We enter the Church through baptism. There we are Christian. That's our natural habitat. And it's an absurd dichotomy, the Pope says. It's an absurd dichotomy, a splitting, a cutting up, a cutting into pieces. It's an absurd dichotomy to love Christ without the Church, to listen to Christ but not to the Church, to remain with Christ on the margins of the Church. It's an absurd dichotomy. It's cleaving that which cannot be separated. Christ can't be separated from his body. Christ can't be separated from the Church, which is his mystical body. Faith leads to baptism. Baptism makes us members of the Church, the mystical body of Christ. And this is so important that the present-day catechism, St. John Paul II's catechism, dedicates several paragraphs to this truth. Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 846 and following paragraphs, states bluntly, opens both barrels and begins, outside the Church, there is no salvation. How are we to understand this affirmation, the Church asks, often repeated by the fathers of the Church, unanimously, no one dissents, outside the Church there is no salvation. First, the fundamental theological reason, which we have to know. If we reformulate this positively, the Catechism states, it means that all salvation comes from Christ, the head, through the Church, which is his body. Basing itself on Scripture and tradition, the Council teaches that the Church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. This is the Second Vatican Council teaching us this. The one Christ is the mediator and the way of salvation. He is present to us in his body, which is the Church. That's why any true ecumenism, any true interreligious dialogue before the Council or afterwards has to have as its point getting everybody back into the Church, back into the boat, back onto the boat, out of the raging waters which surround us, out of the raging waters of sin and of worldliness. Our Lord himself explicitly asserted the necessity of faith and baptism, and thereby affirmed at the same time the necessity of the Church, which men enter through baptism as through a door. Hence, and if there's one thing that you remember from this homily, now it's time to pay attention. Hence, they could not be saved who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse either to enter it or to remain in it. Hence, they could not be saved, who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse to enter it or would refuse to remain in it. This goes for fallen away Catholics, for Christian Protestants, for Jews, for Muslims, for those who profess any other religion, and even for atheists. Now we have to ask ourselves the question, after all this strong theology, well, the fact is that most people in the world today are not Catholics, not even Christians. What happens to them? What happens to the rest of humanity? The Catechism continues and answers, number 847, those who through no fault of their own, key words, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his Church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those too may achieve eternal salvation. Key words, those who through no fault of their own and those who are in this situation may achieve eternal salvation, not do achieve salvation, not automatically achieve salvation. And we'll come back to this point just a little bit later. The Catechism goes on, although in ways unknown to himself, God can lead those who through no fault of their own are ignorant of the gospel to that faith without which it is impossible to please God, the Church still has the obligation and also the sacred right to evangelize all men. Now a practical reason. First theological, now practical, if you can call it that. We know that salvation is possible outside the Church, but not automatic. So even if within the Church, for Catholics, have the help of the fullness of faith, the sacraments, all the help that the church offers, even if so many Catholics find it difficult to save their souls in the church, how much more difficult will it be for those who are without all these things, without the fullness of the faith, without the sacraments, without the church? How much more difficult will it be? That's why the church still has the obligation and also the sacred duty to evangelize all men. And let there be no errors on this point. But this, we have to be clear. Outside of the church, sure, salvation is possible, but very, very uncertain. That's why the church, again, 65 years ago, almost to the day, on August 8, 1949, issued a document to avoid all error and confusion on this point. Salvation, our eternal salvation is at stake here. We have to understand this correctly. The church, in a document of the Holy Office, states that one may obtain eternal salvation. It's not always necessary that he be incorporated into the church actually as a visible member, what we just said, but it is necessary that at least he be united to her by desire and longing. But it must not be thought that any kind of desire of entering the church suffices that one may be saved. It is necessary that the desire by which one is related to the church be animated by perfect charity. We'll be back. We'll look at this in just a second. Nor can an implicit desire produce its effect unless a person has supernatural faith. So even outside of the church, to be saved, you have to have perfect charity and supernatural faith. Imagine that being easy. Perfect charity, love of God above all other creatures, all things, even above our very own lives. Supernatural faith, faith that God exists, that he rewards the good and punishes the wicked according to how they lived, according to whether they observe the commandments or not. Not just 8 of them, not just 9 of them, but all 10 of them. These are required for salvation in those who are outside of the visible boundaries of the church. Shouldn't we do our best then to continue evangelizing, to convert souls, to win souls for Christ, and give them all the help, the best chance they can have at saving their souls? One last question remains. If things are the way they are, will many be saved? Will many be saved then? We said just before, most people in the world are not Catholic, not even Christians. And of those who are, how many actually believe and practice their faith? Do they save their souls? We should ask ourselves, do most people in the world, if you want to give an honest answer to this question, which should be of our concern, many of us have loved ones that are perhaps not Christians, not Catholics, or are fallen away Catholics, have drifted away far from the church and even from God. Do they save their souls? We have to ask ourselves, well, do these people and do most people in the world seek God with a sincere heart and try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, as it is written in our hearts in the Ten Commandments, which is the law of God, written in our hearts indelibly? No one is excused from observing the Ten Commandments, not 5 of them, not 7 of them, not even 9, but all 10 of them. Do most people have that perfect supernatural charity with which the church teaches is necessary? Will many be saved? Our Lord gives the answer, and whoever has ears, let him hear. When the apostles asked our Lord this question, he answered with the following words: "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few." How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Again, Cornelius a Lapide comments these mysterious words of our Lord, saying, "The measure of this constrictedness and the narrowness of the way to heaven of which our Lord speaks, and the fewness of those who find it and are saved, you may gather from the types, from prefigurations of this truth found in the Old Testament. First, there is Lot, who only with his 2 daughters escaped from the burning of Sodom and the other cities of the plain, when all the rest were burnt up because of their lusts. For the world is like Sodom, and today, how true is this? For the world is like Sodom, it is inflamed with lusts and passions. Wherefore, the greater part of those lost are damned on account of pollutions and lust." Just to drive this home today, statistics given estimate that about 1/3 of all traffic on the internet is pornography. About one third of all internet traffic is pornography. Just to give you the same statistic in numbers, in the course of a single year, just one single filthy website can get up to 36 billion hits. 1 year, one website, 36 billion hits. This is five times the world's population, and all the consequent sexual perversions that follow, and all the moral disasters in the family, contraception, divorce, abortion. Wherefore, the greater part of those lost are damned on account of pollutions and law and lusts. The second type is the deluge. From this, Noah only, with seven souls, escaped. The deluge swallowed up all the rest on account of their sins. In the world, there is a deluge of iniquity, and thus of punishments and all calamities. And the third type was the entrance into the promised land, which was a figure, a symbol of heaven. Into this, of 600,000 Israelites, there entered but two, Caleb and Joshua. Of 600,000 Israelites who left Egypt, all but two died in the desert out of punishment for their sins, and only two, Caleb and Joshua, entered it. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So most importantly, before we start conjecturing about salvation outside the church, we should make sure that we attain salvation within the church, that we ourselves do not deny Christ or his church or his teachings or his gospel and lose our souls forever. We have to stay on the boat, out of the waters, out of the raging and merciless waters which surround us, and we have to get as many souls as possible onto the same boat, out of these merciless waters where there is no hope. Secondly, while salvation is possible outside the visible church, never without the church, even if invisibly present and active, never without Christ, even if only invisibly active and present, let us remember that if it is so difficult with the help and light of the faith, the sacraments, with the support of the church, so many Catholics do not make it because of their weaknesses. How much more so will it be difficult without all these things, without confession, without the Eucharist, without Our Lady to turn to, without the example of a single saint? When a person lives surrounded by sin, by occasions of sin, by examples of sin, and has nothing but his weakness to rely on, and nothing to help him to love God, to know him, to serve him, to keep his commandments, that's why the church still has the obligation today and forever, the sacred right to evangelize all men, first and foremost Catholics, her sons and daughters, helping them, instructing them, making them ready to be faithful sons and daughters of the church, to be holy members of Christ, his mystical body, by observing his commandments, by receiving his sacraments worthily, by obeying his teachings, by making them ready to deny themselves, to deny ourselves rather than to deny Christ. And it has the same duty towards all other men, all around the globe, and it's every land, and it's every corner, now and until the end of time, despite all persecutions and tribulations, teaching all loudly and clearly that whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world, will preserve it for eternal life. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.